So last time I talked a little bit about the importance of approaching the Vajrasattva practice with this balanced mind and recalling our many virtuous actions and our ethical living that we have done. And that's evidenced by our current state of having a precious human life. And often it seems like it's hard to remember that. And I think what's going on, at least in my mind, when that's true, it's the self-centered attitude that's really taking over the mind. And this self-centered attitude sees us as very solid and permanent and non-changing. And when that happens, then we get very narrow in our focus, and we don't see ourselves in a realistic manner at all. It's very narrow in its focus. And it's really a view that's stuck in a very poor quality view. So it takes a lot of courage and effort to resist this self-centered attitude. And it's been around for a long time, so it rears up, at least in my mind, quite a lot, and it's very sneaky. I often don't realize that it's really running the show. So, as beginners on the path, our task really for a long time is to accumulate merit and to purify our negativities. And so, we accumulate merit one way is by taking precepts. So, the lay precepts, monastic precepts, the eight Mahayana precepts that we took the other day, Bodhisattva precepts. And when we take these precepts, they're really protection for the mind. They steer us in a virtuous direction. And we practice them. We don't take them and then perfect them immediately. If we could do that, we wouldn't need to take them. So we practice. But of course, since we've been circling in this samsara for many eons, we create negative karma. And so when we create negative karma, then that's when we purify. So these two practices kind of go hand in hand. And often we create negative karma out of carelessness or sometimes just by living on automatic. Not being very aware of the results of the actions that we're doing. Sometimes we create negative karma because the mind is full of afflictions like anger or attachment, jealousy, greed, all of those afflictions. And so since our mind will not be completely purified until enlightenment, we're going to be involved in these purification practices for a long time. If we're really, really sincere about ending our suffering and ending the suffering of others, then we joyfully do these purification practices every day. And as we get more and more and more familiar with it, actually, when we notice that we have done a negative action, we can, in our mind, right there, purify on the spot, which is a very powerful way to hold these practices. And then, of course, when we have the opportunity, we do Vajrasattva retreat, which is a very powerful process also. And so, how do we develop confidence that the purification practice works? So, what first came to my mind is it's a practice. So like all practice, we gain confidence through the experience over time. So it's experiential. But we can look to the masters that have realizations, who have spoken about these practices. That helps us gain some confidence. And so in Geshe Sopa's book, The Steps on the Path to Enlightenment, he cites the sutra giving the four teachings, where the Buddha is speaking directly to Maitreya and telling him that if he makes use of purification practice, all negative karma that you have accumulated can be subdued, mitigated, and completely destroyed. So these are the words of the Buddha. So we all know Buddha doesn't lie. Yeah? So we could actually believe this. And then another master, a Kadampa master, said, because the nature of all functional things is impermanent, if someone engages in the practice of purification, accumulates merit, practices visualizing, and does the sadhana with great effort, what may now seem impossible to achieve, like high realizations, will come about one day. And again, if you hear that and you think, well, sure, master, of course, he could do that, but I'm not like that. If that's what comes up in your mind, that's the self-centered attitude again, rearing its ugly head, trying to keep you exactly where you are, unchanging, poor view of self, kind of stuck in this place. When you think about it, our Buddha nature and these masters' Buddha nature is the same. The only thing that's different is that they have been practicing purifying and accumulating merit for a much longer time than we have. That's all. But Buddha nature, same. Same in all of us, same in all the masters. We all have that. So with these practices, we're trying to uncover our Buddha nature. Another master said, at the end of however many mantras you recite when you're doing the Vajrasattva practice, develop the strong conviction, I have actually purified all negativities. It's important to generate this conviction because having lingering doubts about whether the negativities have actually been purified is harmful. So it's up to you. You can let the self-centered attitude really rule your mind, or you can have confidence in the Buddha's teaching. You can have confidence in these great masters. You can have confidence in your teachers. You can have confidence in yourself. It's up to you.